Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews Movie News. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Hello. Ryan Preston.
Giggity.
So this week's question is, worst actors that is bad, but you still like? And our answers in just a bit. So, couple of movie news, nothing too amazing. I don't know if you guys are a Daniel Radcliffe fan from Harry Potter fame.
No. Syphilis.
He is signed on to do a prison break movie, Escape from Pretoria. Escape from Pretoria tells the story of a 20-something white South African brand as a terrorist, and it's an escape movie.
So is this going to be like the prison break TV show where it takes five seasons to just break out of prison?
Let's hope it doesn't take five movies.
I sure hope not. You're a shitty... shitty escape artist.
Yeah, I'm always interested in a good escape movie.
I don't know.
I'm really interested in how they spin it. You know, like, would this be like Nelson Mandela, who was a good terrorist? Or, you know...
That depends on who you're talking to.
Well, yeah, so I'm really interested in how they're going to frame it, because that's the part that I'm always interested in. Are they going to be really bad guys who escape? And so, you know...
I don't know.
Because I'm kind of on the fence. I don't care.
Well, I like the Harry Potters, but I mean...
Yeah, but
Radcliffe's trying to get out of the thing of being Harry Potter, but I think going to films like this don't really suit him that well.
But you could have had anybody, honestly, in the role in the Harry Potter movie still.
Well, I gotta say that as far as I'm concerned, Daniel Radcliffe's breaking away from the Harry Potters a lot better than
Rupert Grint.
No, I was going to say the Home Alone kid.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin. I mean, because he went really dumb and then got methed up.
I think the difference is more protection for kids nowadays than there was even in the 90s.
Well, don't send your kid to go live in Neverland with Michael Jackson. What do you think is going to happen?
Actually, didn't Macaulay Culkin's parents take some of his money? Emaciated or whatever they call it?
Yeah, he did that too.
Another interesting one that I'm fascinated by is The Dark Crystal is getting a Netflix prequel called The Age of Resistance. Dark Crystal is a Hansen
movie.
Is it Hansen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't hate
Hansen,
it.
Hansen, by the way.
As a kid, Hansen, excuse me. As a kid, I loved it. As an adult, it's not my favorite movie.
I never liked it. Ryan, did you ever like Dark Crystal?
You know what? I don't believe I've ever seen it, but it's really not my jam.
You're not missing much.
I mean, Labyrinth, but avoided it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's like a different version of Labyrinth.
No. See, this is a lot better than Labyrinth,
without
than
the
my
pedophilia
opinion.
Of little Waldo.
Yeah. I actually thought the movie was a lot better than Labyrinth. As a guy who's seen it more than anybody should probably have because of my childhood, Dark Crystal's a hell of a lot better than any Labyrinth was.
Let me ask you this.
That's not her.
Is there any David Bowie bulge in Dark Crystal?
No, it's actually all puppets.
Then it's not a better movie.
Wow. Wow, Ryan. Just wow. I mean, are we going to have to go back to Black Loving You?
No, his girlfriend's got to be happy, though. Does this mean she gets a hall pass?
Where the hell were you going with that?
Oh, and before my humble apologies, before we continue this.
I was
going
to wait till you did like two more news and then I was going to interrupt you.
One of our show being Real Flicks Reviews, favorite Bond has just recently passed away in the last couple of days. Sir Roger Moore passed away at 89 years old. He was 1927 to 2017.
Yeah, he battled cancer for quite a long time. And it's sad that he's gone, but I mean, the only good thing that we can say about it is that he's not battling cancer anymore. And it's a tough battle on that one.
You know, the funniest...
Dude had an amazing career and
amazing.
Was charming from start to finish. You know what I mean?
When I first heard this, I was really surprised that he outlived Sean Connery later on to realize he was older than Sean Connery.
Yeah.
which really surprised me, because last time I saw Sean Connery, he looked like 50 Miles of Bad Freeway.
Yeah, and as far as I'm concerned, he is the best Bond. I will argue with you on that, and I'll sit you down and actually show you why.
James and I are together on that one, and I will absolutely make the case for him being my favorite Bond any day.
Yeah, you know, just for people out there, when I first met Ryan, he didn't agree with that. He actually was for the Connery as well. So,
but that was before he loved the Bulge.
But, you know, I think that was coming from just a slightly younger man's perspective, though.
Yeah.
You know, as I got older, I started to really respect, you know, the way Roger Moore played the Bond. A little more lighthearted, a little more of the ladies' man. Definitely the funnier Bond. Sean Connery played him a little more cold, a little more sociopathic.
Yeah.
You know,
A little bit more gadgety than most of the other Bonds.
You know, definitely more gadgety. I mean, it was close to being Get Smart with Pierce Brosnan. I didn't actually have a favorite Bond movie. Bond actor. I liked them all. I think they all have their own unique perspectives and unique way of doing it.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan, everybody?
He likes Timothy Dalton.
Pierce Brosnan was probably the worst in a lot of ways. Just pretty much it was about, what's the latest gadget instead of the storyline.
Yeah.
And his one-liner quips that he did nonstop.
Oh, man. They basically made the following three movies after Goldeneye just so he can look at the, you know, girl and say some weird line.
Yeah.
My favorite of all time was Pierce Brosnan, and you had Denise Richards as a nuclear scientist by the name of Christmas Jones. And as soon as I saw that she was a nuclear scientist, I'm thinking, wow, they're really stretching it on her.
So, to sum it up, Roger Moore, I really enjoyed your career. You were always one of my favorite cameos in the newer movies that came out. I was always pleased to see you in those. And I guess it's just that time of our lives where a lot of great actors are just going to be passing away from old age, which, I mean, 89 is a great life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the one part that I don't like is you get to see your favorite actors no longer acting and then unfortunately pass away.
We basically went through with Robin Williams, Gene Wilder in the past couple of years, and now we got Roger Moore, and there's a few other ones that I'm not going to get into as well, but yeah. Anyways, our condolences and...
Yeah,
Johnny's got over in news.
There's a couple interesting things. There's a note. This is a comic book news, but I'm interested to see how it turns out in the Marvel. Captain America's new Hydra armor revealed. So, because what it is in the original Civil War series, the actual comic book, Captain America was the good guy. Allegedly in Civil War II, Captain America was the bad guy. As I'm kind of sick of Marvel, but I really want to see him turn Captain America evil.
Yeah, I do want to see evil Captain.
Because I just don't like Captain America.
Naughty, naughty.
As a kid, I liked him. As an adult, I'm like, you know, I'm more of a Tony Stark at this point than I am Steve Rogers.
No, I'm Batman.
Well, I have a piece of polarizing news.
What's that?
I said I have a piece of polarizing news here.
Okay.
James, are you familiar with the show Mr. Robot?
Yes. We already kind of did that one here.
Oh, that's right. We did, didn't we?
that TV show has gotten a lot of praise by hackers, by the way.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They were very, very respectful. Rami Malek, the lead character in Mr. Robot, is going to be playing Freddie Mercury in 2018 in a movie called Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, I've heard of this. I didn't know he was actually going to be played by him.
You know, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Originally, there was going to be a biopic about him, and I think they were talking to Sacha Baron
Cohen. Yeah, he's
about playing.
He's the guy I really wanted. He was the guy I was really voting for personally.
But, so far, not a lot of production notes or anything, just it's going to be sort of the chronicles leading up to the appearance at Live Aid in 1985, but it's directed by Bryan Singer.
Whoa.
So this is going to be a cool movie.
Hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's been about time something like this has come out. Now, is he going
to
try?
I mean, I would love to see him as you know, do a biopic, you know, so it's going to be interesting.
Are they going to go along with like the Joaquin Phoenix? Is he going to try to sing it, or are they going to be?
I believe what I heard was he was recently interviewed by Chris Hardwick on the Nerdist podcast. He had mentioned that he had done an audition on tape and actually had to watch Brian May watch him sing for the first time. So apparently there was a singing audition that was done. Whether or not that's going to be mixed with pre-recorded stuff or altered stuff remains seen. But by all least auditioning for the vocals.
My personal guess is what they're doing is he just wants to see what he looks like singing. Does it look natural? Does it look fake? Like, for example, if you saw Val Kilmer in the Doors movie, Val Kilmer looked really natural up on stage, looked really good singing. You can't have someone who just doesn't look natural on the stage. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it is.
Well, yeah, of course. He did mention singing, although, I mean, it could have just been a sort of a catch-all term or, you know, what have you. But, yeah, from what I understand, they might be leaning towards that direction, or at least entertaining it.
I'm kind of excited.
Interested in seeing that one, man. Yeah, me too.
As a Queen fan, I'm totally down for that.
Yeah, me too.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews. Is there a piece of movie news you'd like us to do, or even a movie you'd love us to review? You can also pause for the cause and donate to Real Flix Reviews and Old Guy Tech TV. You can also catch us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more.
Yeah, if you donate, I might actually say thank you.
So our question of the week is, what bad actor, or worse actor, is a bad actor but you still like? I've got two. My first one would be Dolph Lundgren. He's not the greatest actor, but I still really enjoy most of his movies. The other one, I don't think he's a bad actor. He just doesn't get a lot of acting roles, which would probably put him on the list, would be Matthew Lillard. I don't think he's a bad actor, but I think he just either gets stuck in bad roles, or it's what Hollywood basically has dictated what his child, you know, what he can do. So, because I'm a big fan of Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, I Dolph Lundgren was almost immediately what popped in my mind when you asked the question in the first place. But Matthew Lillard, I really, really like that guy. I really do.
We reviewed his directorial debut, Fat Kids Rule the World, and that was such a great movie. I want to see him direct more. Right now, he's mainly doing the Scooby-Doo cartoons, which, hey, you know, it's a paycheck. Plus, as a Scooby-Doo fan, I'm down with it.
The way that I took this one was, you know, an actor, like you said, I mean, you know, either hasn't really gotten great roles or not really known for doing the best job in a lot of these roles, but you still love to love him. You know, something about him that just speaks beyond their ability, I suppose. This is an odd one, but Channing Tatum.
Interesting.
Did we record that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
No, for real. I mean, look, I'm not a fucking Magic Mike fan or anything like that, but I mean, obviously those are, you know, movies that he did. I think he started in like the Step Up kind of shit, but you, once he did 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
See, I want to say.
Well, see, here's kind of what my thought is, because I liked him in G.I. Joe. I think the biggest problem is the movies that are being made currently. I think if he was an 80s movie star, I think he'd be, you know, not top of the mark, but a distant second, because in some movies, I think he does really well in.
Sure. I mean, he had 10 lines in Hateful Eight. You know, that was Tarantino, and he did a good job there. I mean, it wasn't much to hang his hat on, but... you know, when he did 21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street, all of a sudden you're seeing him, you know, have this, like comedic chemistry. And even though, obviously, you can't say that it's an amazing movie, it was fun. Shit.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
You know, they weren't trying to...
Ryan?
Well, you hate comedy.
I got hung up on.
Yeah, true. Say, James, your pick.
You know, I find it really amusing.
Oh, by the way, Channing Tatum is scheduled to play Remy LeBeau in a Gambit movie.
Yeah, I kind of heard that.
I just hope that's a nasty threat.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, I really find it amusing that the first person to pop up in all three of our minds is the Dolphster. I really think that's
smartest man in Hollywood.
I mean, yeah, I really do. He's a smart man, but his role choices are questionable.
My favorite thing about Dolph Lundgren, he's legitimately more of a scientist than Bill Nye.
Yeah, like seriously, way smarter than that.
Oh, hold on a second. He was a Fulbright scholar like 35 years ago.
What, you think he can't read still?
I'm sure he can read, but I'm sure he's not boning up on his fucking organic chemistry lately.
Yeah, dude, he's a freaking hydroponics master.
Honestly, depending on his personality type, you never know. I've known plenty of smart people who read stuff like that for fun, so you really never know what he's into.
But that's the other thing that I got to say about the Dolphster is, have you ever heard anyone from Hollywood talk shit about him personally?
His movies?
No.
But no, nobody.
All I've heard is good things. Anyone say about Dolph Lundgren is amazing work ethic and nicest guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
anyways, so since that guy's out, I picked two other ones. First comes up out of my mind is Chuck Norris. He has some really bad acting skills, but I enjoy seeing him on screen.
Legendary. Walker, Texas Ranger is my favorite thing he's in.
Yeah. And then the other one's kind of a secret thing. You guys already know that I enjoy quite a few of this guy's films, but horrid actual actor, Pauly Shore.
We both know he's your Channing Tatum.
There's a few roles that I really love him in. Like, you know, I mean, Son-in-Law, I really enjoy. That movie will always crack me.
Son-in-Law was awesome.
And then
In the Army
Biodome.
Now was great. Only good thing that Andy Dick ever did.
Yeah, and then Biodome, another fantastic
Biodome
movie.
Was great.
I mean, I don't really like him, and he's a horrible actor, but I like the films that he puts out, like In the Army Now.
No,
really, come on.
Unlike Dolph,
was the biggest thing in the world in the 90s.
And unlike Dolph Lundgren, I've never heard anybody say anything nice about Pauly Shore.
That's true as well. Those are the ones that I...
But, you know, every time you hear him be the weasel, it's all forgiven.
Yeah. I don't know about forgiven, but it's definitely like a, you know, like...
Well, it goes out of your brain. It's like, woohoo!
All of a sudden, you know, it's like Sherman set the Wayback Machine in 1990. Yeah. Another interesting movie being rebooted. I don't really know why.
Cannibal Holocaust?
The Craft is getting rebooted, rewrite from 10 Cloverfield Lane writer. Now, if you're not...
Jesus, it didn't ruin enough careers the first time?
And if you're not... If you're not familiar with it,
at least half of those lead actresses already had a ruined career.
Oh yeah. This was pretty much the nail in their coffin. I knew a lot of, particularly women, I don't know why, but loved this movie. I saw it a couple of times. I actually rented this from our local mom and pop when they were open.
What year did that come out? 1992?
So I think it's later than that. I don't get why.
I think you might be right. 92, 94 or some shit.
I don't get why this movie's being rebooted. I don't think it was a great movie to begin with. I don't know. I don't get it, personally.
Oh, wow. 1996. Now, the thing I got to say for that movie coming out, it was like the perfect timing for that film to be released to do well in the box office, because there was so many young female girls who thought they were goth witches. I mean, literally.
Yeah,
they were goth lit witches, and they all went and threw their money at that thing, and probably saw. I know quite a few that went to the theater to watch it at least three times. So
yeah, everybody I went to high school with knew three chicks who watched this movie and became goth.
Yeah,
pretty much
every single time, and so I guess if you want to redo it, because all those girls now are either late 20s, like 29, 30, or young 30s to mid 30s that
now?
Really liked it. Yeah, now. So
oh, yeah.
They're all going to go and be like, I want to go see it because it's going to be nostalgia.
Yeah, and they're going to show, they're going to bring their daughters and all that. Or,
I mean, I might be interested if Rob Zombie did it.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
but it is a total.
Or Eli Roth.
Okay, if Eli Roth did it, I would see it just because I'd love to see what the hell he would do with it.
Anyway, sorry.
Another piece of movie news that I actually want to applaud Jordan Peele. He passed on making the Akira movie. His comment was, I want to do original stuff.
Nice.
And probably saved his career considering how bad the Ghost in the Shell movie was.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I want to see it. I haven't seen it, but I haven't heard anything good about it. Weta Works did stuff on it. It's the only reason I want to see it because I'm a big fan of Weta and Peter Jackson.
I just have a feeling that it's going to be kind of like watching Lucy again.
Probably. You know, yeah, I mean, it is was it Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
I'm curious on how the story is different from the cartoon anime canon versus the cinematic canon.
Could that's they do the Ninja part... Scroll? I'd be down to seeing Ninja Scroll.
I don't know.
Live action?
See, I legitimately think that the problem with doing any cartoon, anime or American cartoons, live action, is some stuff does not translate well.
Like Pacific Rim?
I don't think that was an anime. It was a comic book, wasn't it?
No, well, it wasn't necessarily anime, but it was basically them kind of testing out their mecha anime abilities. And you failed.
I don't think they failed as bad as you think.
They failed.
I think that the problem, the biggest problem, and I've definitely got to see the movie to really nail down my opinion, is modern movies just are not good at doing the utopia future anymore. I think that was something done well in the 90s and the 80s.
Wait, there was utopian future movies?
They did it well in the 80s and 90s.
Are you talking about Mad Max?
I mean, not utopia, but, you know, post-apocalyptic, modern future.
Battlefield Earth?
So I don't know. I just don't think... anime specifically, at least for Western directors, just cannot do the anime's justice, in my opinion.
Well, it's
but I am I do got to state my bias. I am a giant fan of Ghost in the Shell, so for them, they have a really high standard they have to meet with me personally.
Ryan, you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say it's a weird thing with the technology being what it is, that everything looks so crisp and clean that you can see right through, you know, like the plastic armor that they had sort of in the 90s, and everything was made out of, you know, like that molding plastic from the prop guy. So at the very least, you know, if they're going to throw a decent amount of money into something like that, they'd have to make it, you know, work aesthetically and or just plug it with so much CGI that it basically becomes a cartoon again. I agree that some things don't translate well. Like, I've been wondering forever that people keep talking about Akira. I'm like, there's a lot of shit in that movie that I don't know how you're going to fucking do.
Yeah, that's my first thought, too.
I think Ryan just nailed down something that really bugs me. Bugs me about modern movies, and I haven't really been able to put my thumb on it, was movies today are just too clean. They're too pretty. They're too clear. And I don't think on some movie types... 4K lends itself, or 1080p lends itself to certain movies. I want gritty. I want hisses. I want pops. And they cannot reproduce that feel to me. Like, if you watch Blade Runner, even on like a high-end restoration, it still looks grungy.
Or Fifth Element.
Yeah, they just don't do that well. And I think to the detriment, especially of Ghost in the Shell, if you watch the anime...
You know what? That's the funny thing, man. I can't figure out if it's just because I was watching some shit in 4K, you know, the 4K Ultra, and it was filmed in 4K Ultra. So I mean, you see absolutely everything. It looks so crisp that it looks weird. And I'm trying to figure out if this is me being old or something, or like, am I sounding like an old man? Like, yeah, that's almost what it feels like. Like, I'm just not used to the new machinery. Like. like, I don't know how to work this goddamn answering machine, you know?
Well, I think it's two things. One, I have a 4K TV at home, and 4K content looks pretty. It's gorgeous. The color pops.
But it doesn't look like I'm watching a movie, though.
No. I mean, the problem with a lot of 4K content I've seen is the colors are jacked up to beyond belief. It's like, ooh, it's like that fucking Mr. Wizard or Wizard of Oz movie that came out years ago.
Oh, The Great and Powerful Oz?
Yeah. I mean, it was like a 4K movie demo. That's my biggest problem with a lot of 4K content. But But the problem, I don't know, I still think that's it for me. The problem is the uncanny valley. Is it just, it looks too real, or the fact that some of the stuff that I grew up, that I'm nostalgic about, that I love, like I love black and white movies. There's a certain feel of black and white movies that you cannot reproduce to this date. It's the film, it's the transfer, it's the age, the grain. You know, for me, that's it. Because I saw, for example, Watchmen on a horrendous copy. I mean, it looked like it had been through the wash. I mean, it was grainy as all hell, but I fell in love with it because it was grainy. It was dark. It was dingy. And then I watched it on 1080p. I'm like, give me my crappy copy back because it fit it better. I mean, for me, that's 100%.
I get what you mean. I think as far as where movies are going now, you're going to find that there are some directors that are going to keep pushing the 4K envelope. But I guarantee there's going to be directors like I don't see. And I brought them up just a little while ago is Quentin Tarantino, Eli Roth, even Rob Zombie and Robert Rodriguez. I can see those guys continuing to make their films dark and to get back to that graininess because they're nostalgic guys. They enjoy.
Tarantino only has
movies.
A few more movies left. He's already said he's going to do 10.
He was just one of the ones that came up to mind. I mean, if you look at Inglourious Basterds, that movie still had its gritty feel, but still had, like, in the opening scene when she's running through the field. And
whoa,
Christoph
shit.
Waltz.
What did he film Hateful Eight on?
70mm. Yeah.
So that scene,
that's right. It was 70mm ultra.
Colors, he bought every single projector in existence that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
According to them.
So, I mean, even that sequence right there still had kind of a dark overlay of what it was. So I see some directors that are still going to continue with that because that's part of the art of filmmaking.
I agree a lot. The older I get, maybe it's just, you know, I'm kind of a curmudgeon at this point, is
you're
the fact that I agree with Tarantino. Like, movies today is like TV in public. You're missing the hisses, the pops. And I know I keep telling you, but it's like if you grew up only listening to MP3s and never listening to records, and you go to somebody's house who has a record player, and you hear the hisses and the pops and the warm tones, and you're like, this is what music sounds like? To me, that's what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's coldness versus the warmth of what film should be, in my opinion. So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevenson, Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening. Goodbye. We'll be right back.